Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. It's time for WFHR's Playmakers. Tailgate edition. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to lead you right into Raptor baseball. Your host, James, here. I am joined by the best utility player in the league, our good man, Seth Hebhager.
I'm not a starter, but I'm a utility guy. I'm okay with that.
You end up starting, just not at the same place. You're my Zobrist.
Super utility player.
Oh, incredibly. And my favorite players in baseball. I love the guys.
Hey, do you remember Rob Mikowiak?
Yes.
He was like the first super utility guy. Yeah. He was awesome, yeah.
That's a great reference. Right out the gate pulled it out. Not even the first minute and pulled that name out.
He was awesome.
We are going to be talking baseball. We are going to be talking not only Raptor baseball, but we got some other conversation and stories to get into when it comes to baseball. Also, we're going to be talking with our good friend, Coach Peckman. We are going to be having the fourth period, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm in baseball and basketball mode and all this.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. Got some other good things we want to get into. I do want to start off our show, telling you a little bit about your Raptors. They are going to be in action in just a little bit from now. We will have Raptor baseball for you as they are playing Green Bay 6:20. So we'll lead you kind of into that. We are kind of your tailgate into that, hopefully.
Yeah, that's right.
Have us on in the parking lot in there, over there, at whether it's Winterfield or in Green Bay or wherever they're playing. I think we could be the soundtrack for you while you're getting ready for Raptor baseball.
You couldn't ask for a better day to play baseball, man.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous day out there. Perfect.
Nice to have a day like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to talk a little bit about the promotions of the Raptors real quick as well. Get that taken care of because there's some cool stuff coming up. As you know, today going on is the Boogie Bros back for another year. Tiki Time is ready to provide the in-game entertainment for the evening, promising to have you leave with a smile on your face. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check that out, everybody. Nice. Enjoy. Also, Winning Wednesday, if the Raptors win, or should I say when they win tonight, fans that stick around until the final out will receive a voucher for a free bleacher seat.
Hey,
that's pretty cool.
Stick around, man.
And of course, on Thursday, we've got Let's Play 2. It's an Ernie Banks special. We are going to have two games for you on that one. Now, that also means that our programming is going to be a little bit different.
Right.
So what we've got going on is 11:50 game. Awesome. I love early afternoon baseball. I don't know what it is, but I love it.
It's perfect.
Especially, you know, with our team, with a team you really like and stuff. Like, I'll watch any teams, but when it's teams that you have an investment in, yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And we're looking forward to playing it for you. With that being said, of course, we have afternoon programming that might not play. We do have a midday magazine coming up with that is time sensitive with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to find we'll probably end up playing that instead of Unlabeled or something. Seth is just finding out about this.
Oh, that's easy.
It's an easy fix.
Yeah,
but it's something that we'll just to let the audience know kind of what the program is going to be over the next couple of days here, and then we'll of course have the second game of that doubleheader.
Right. I sure hope that first game doesn't go 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say is that, man, that's a long game.
It's funny. As long as we've been doing this, you know, you prepare for everything. A 16-inning game or something like that. You just never know. Also going on Thursday night at the ballpark, Wisconsin Rapids Convention and Visitors Bureau present Sports Commission Night. One of my favorite nights of the year that they do. Come out to Winterfield, see all your area sports organizations from youth to adult clubs. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's free tuition night at Midstate. That's another exciting part of things. Enjoy that tonight, Thursday night, everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And always cool to get all of our athletic leaders, if you will, in the one place and being able to conversate, communicate, share not only knowledge and information, but just having a conversation. And you never know what can come up in a sports calendar. It's great that we have communication going on with those leaders.
Yes, indeed.
Friday, special night, maybe the most special night at the ballpark. If I can be blunt, Mo Hill returns to Winterfield. Join us as we welcome back Midwest League legend, the legend in the Midwest, and Wisconsin Rapids twin player Mo Hill, who's number 24, is being retired at Winterfield.
Noted the only number that has ever been retired at Winterfield, which is really cool.
And that is our stat of the show, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
That is our stat of the show. I thought that was pretty cool. We got some other stuff about Giannis later, but I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that the Raptors haven't done this yet. I have a feeling that they might still with some players down the line.
Yeah.
But Mo should be the first.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's show, Seth and I are going to take some time talking about Mr. Hill. We did have him scheduled to join us. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
But I do want to spend some time talking about him. And a little homework for the audience. If you or anybody you know out there that got to see Mr. Hill play, please feel free to call in on today's show or Friday's show.
Yeah.
We like to celebrate the man, like to celebrate his legacy, what he did for in this community.
Mm-hmm.
This was, if not our first, one of our first sports, you know, big names, heroes mm-hmm. around here that everybody seemed to know and everybody seemed to like. This was before our time here, Seth.
Right.
So I'm reaching out to the audience. I want to hear from you guys because all I've got is stuff that I've read online
yep.
and the few people that I've talked to.
Yep.
I look forward to hearing from all y'all. And as we always do, and this is a call-in show, everybody. So please
Don't forget.
Yeah, you can shut me up anytime. Friday, July 12th, Mo Hill returns to Winterfield. That's going to be a fun night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rafters that night will be hosting Lakeshore at 6:20.
All right.
Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
All right, we want to take your, you know, preserve your mouth so that you don't have to talk no more.
Thank you, God, Kevin.
Because you were saying earlier because your teeth are bothering you. So.
I'm tagging you guys in.
I really don't have no. I can't really add anything for Mo Hill. That was a little probably. I mean, I wasn't really born and raised in Rapids here, so it was probably a little bit before my time. I mean, just I have to go off of what you know people say about how he was and how he was toward the community. You know, what I've heard, he was a great man. But what I really want to talk about is the snubs from the All-Star game.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
Yes.
You know, and I know that, you know, we're still, what, a week away. There could be some guys that are on a team that might not be able to make it. So some guys might make it. But why wasn't Terang selected? I don't, as a reserve.
I right. feel so much better somebody else starting with this because I felt like as I've been talking about the kid all season,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it sounds a little biased coming from me. But yeah, man, number one, and he better be on that team when somebody can't play.
Right. There will be people who will say either they say, oh, no, my toe hurts. So I can't play in the game or something like that. We'll see how it goes from here. But yeah.
But it shouldn't have come to that either. It shouldn't come to that. I do not mean to interrupt you, Brian. I want to get back to this conversation, but real quickly, some breaking news. United States Soccer has fired coach Greg Berhalter after the Copa America destroyed. Well, really, not just after that, after a million things.
I was going to say, that was the least shocking thing.
Yeah. Just that it's finally been done. They mm-hmm. finally. Now, why they didn't do this sooner and who they're going to get, I hope they put a truckload of maple syrup and money to Canada to get their coach that is one of ours and get him back in the States, because that kid, I know he didn't have a great game his last game he coached, but he's good, and he's an innovator, and he can score.
They lost to Argentina, I mean.
It's
Argentina's like awesome, so yeah.
Yeah, but that's a congratulations to all soccer fans, and all specifically all U.S. soccer fans, because as a homer, I am a fan of them, and I don't pretend to know a lot about soccer, but right. I know that Greg Berhalter is horrible at his job.
Yeah, he really kind of messed it
really,
up.
Really, really needed to go. Back to the snubs in the All-Star game. That Terang is my number one. Do you have a number two there, either of you guys?
It's kind of brought up too. I mean, I was kind of looking at some stuff over the four-letter network, and which was kind of surprising that you know that they were saying that they feel McGill should have got there too as a Brewer, because of what he's done as a closer, and also they didn't do a very good job last night against Pittsburgh, but I don't, you know, you hate to be a homer on some of these guys, but the way things have gone this year, I mean, why couldn't you put McGill in there? I mean, he's
mm-hmm.
I don't think he really has blown a save this year. If he has, it's only maybe been one, and he's done a pretty dang good job since he's been in there. So I guess that's another snub. But there again, you know, a pitcher might have threw like 2 days before the All-Star game. They're not going to throw him at all in the game. So why,
right.
you know, why put him in there too? I mean. I guess you could probably say that too for McGill if he ends up, you know, throwing to it in the bullpen. But I just, you know, I guess my biggest thing is the whole Terang thing. I don't get. I mean, I know that Arias or whatever got the call.
Arias,
You know, but man,
there's no denying that he deserves to be an All-Star. or Arias. That guy's one of the best hitters in baseball. I'm not taking anything from him. And anytime somebody wants to take somebody or add somebody, I always think, well, we got to think about who we'd take off. And I don't know I'd be taking him out. But Terang, just for the audience that isn't paying attention, 284 batting average, 6 homers, 29 stolen bases, 749 OPS. And one of the key cogs of this Milwaukee Brewer team that right now has 26 comeback wins, which is first in baseball, 121 stolen bases, second only to the Reds, I believe, Seth.
Second only to Ellie De La Cruz, really. But right, yes.
Yeah. My guy. Bringing it back. I love it. He's going to have an 80 stolen base season. I'll put that out there right now.
I don't know why he stopped for a while. Yeah. All of a sudden, he stopped. Now he's doing it again. And because I was hoping for 100, man.
Yes.
I want a 100 steal season.
I would love to see that.
Oh, bring me back to the 80s.
Who was the last one?
Ricky
Henderson,
either Ricky or Vince, Coleman.
It was Vince.
One of those two.
Actually, yeah. I think it might have been Vince Coleman because I think that bothered Ricky.
Probably.
The 27-13 home record, that's third best in baseball. And to some of what you were saying before, Kevin, a 3.27 bullpen ERA, fourth best in baseball. And that team has one All-Star or two All-Stars? No, that's not how this usually works.
Yeah, they've got two.
If I'm giving you those stats and I'm saying the Dodgers or the Yankees or something, we're talking 4 or 5 All-Stars.
Let's put this in context. The Padres have 5
come on.
All-Stars, and they're barely above 500.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, too, about the way the voting goes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so all the reserves are voted on by two groups, the players and the commissioner's office. Okay, so basically the players vote who they want, then the commissioner's office has to fill in. Make sure all the teams have a representative, of course, and all that kind of stuff. So that actually goes and tells you a few things. Yeah, Bryce Terang, that's probably a reason why. He's not a veteran. From what I have heard, most times the players vote more towards veterans. You know, guys that they think, you know, or they've earned it this year, or, you know, they've had a good body of work in their career, and they should, you know, they should still be on, even if they're not having a great year this year. Like Marcus Semien is a good example of that, right? But so that's part of it. And how they make their decisions, who knows? I mean, why the commissioner's office does it, they do. That's, we have no idea how they choose them. So
I've got a perfect solution for this. Wisconsin, we just need to make more people, and we will, and have every one of those people grow up a Brewer fan and voting for these All Stars, and we can maybe compete with the New Yorks and some of these. I mean, it's simple. It's really just math. It's no, it's not. Brandon Nimmo is another one that I would throw out there. I think
Brandon Nimmo, he's had a great year.
He's had a nice one, and I would say, Seth, that Will Castro. For the Twins,
Willie Castro, he had a better year last year. I'm actually the snub for the Twins for me. I mean, Correa got in, which he should. He's having a great year, but again, he was chosen by the commissioner's office. Players, I guess his fellow players still don't like him that much. Jax, the reliever, Griffin Jax, who's had a fabulous season. He's one guy I think he should have gotten on to, but
for as bad as it's been with starting pitching, whether it's injuries or ERA, the closers in baseball have been pretty fun to watch.
Yeah,
and it's been pretty cool to see a lot of that.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, to me personally, I know that you have starters, but they should just put bullpen guys in the All-Star game, because even all the, you know, they only pitch one inning. What's the sense of having all these starters? You know. And you were talking about the injuries. Last night I was watching a little bit of the Philadelphia Dodgers game last night. And they brought up – they had to make the screen wider so they can put all the injured pitchers they have for the Dodgers on the screen.
Jeez, yes.
You know, so it's just not the Brewers that are having issues with the pitch. I mean, it's the whole league.
Yeah, it's the whole league, yeah.
It's hard, you know, when it comes to this All-Star stuff. But I want to kind of – step away here a second, because I gotta kind of throw something, because it's a Raptor, and I kind of follow him around still a bit, and he's actually back in Wisconsin playing baseball, is Demetrius Sims. He is a shortstop with the Raptors. He plays for the Lake Country Dachshunds. Everybody needs to go on to the American Association of Professional Baseball and vote Demetrius in for the All-Star game.
Cool.
Doing it right now.
That's great.
He's one of the ones that are, you know, kind of like they used to do with baseball. You always had a few guys that you in there, and he's on the list to make the All-Star team. And he's actually having, I think he's batting like .305 in that league. And he's an All-Star in my name, because for once we hosted him, so I got to kind of, you know,
right on. Yeah.
But, but his defense, I mean, for a shortstop, it's just he's good. I mean, he's probably one of the best shortstops I've seen, especially in the Northwood League when he was here, mm-hmm. let alone in college. And I am just so surprised he's not with a major league team.
Me too. Yeah, I do remember him. You know, I hadn't thought of the name, but as soon as you said it, yeah. This is what baseball does, I think, almost better than any other sport. And part of it is not only the history of baseball, but as simple as it might sound, we see these guys' faces. Mm-hmm. We really get a good idea of what they look like in football and hockey. Some of these other sports, you just don't get it as much. With baseball, it's a long game, so you're spending more time mm-hmm. with these people physically and mentally in many ways, and you see their faces. And I think there's more of a connection, let alone when you let them sleep in your house with you. I mean, that's a heck of a connection, man. That's exactly. Pretty cool. I'd be feeling the same way, and we're definitely voting for them. I do want to wrap on a positive note, and not to say this is necessarily positive, but it's one of the few times where I hear a lot of talking heads talking about something, and I do think it's interesting whether or not Paul Skeens should start the All-Star game. and I think it's interesting in just this light that this game is not necessarily taken any more seriously by the player than this player than that player. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody could say that all the players take it seriously. Some do, some don't. But one thing we know as far as storylines in baseball is this first half is everybody was watching Ohtani and Skeens face off. Mm-hmm. Each one of those at-bats. I just watched it again last night. Somebody clipped them together on YouTube. You could just watch them all boom, boom, boom. And it's fantastic. Just the opportunity to see that, because neither of these guys may be, at least Ohtani, might not be available after the second, third inning.
Right.
If you could tell me that that's going to happen for sure,
right.
Give me it as soon as you can.
Right.
Or give me it at the end of the game, because that's the thing I think people are missing. You could easily line that up. You have Ohtani set there and ready to go, so you can have him as the second or the last at-bat, and you can line this up as a manager, and you have Skeens waiting in the bullpen. He's a rookie.
Right.
He shouldn't be out there anyway,
right.
As far as the way baseball goes and the way they look at these things. I understand that it's not going to happen.
It can't because they're in the same league. But.
Right. Yeah. But I mean,
like someone like Aaron Judge or someone like that in the American League.
That's what I'm talking about, though, is that was such a big
drama.
Story
yeah.
that we need that again.
Yeah.
So whether it's Aaron Judge or it's Juan Soto or one of those big mm-hmm. bats going up against that kid, I know I can get it in the first inning. I can't get that in the ninth inning. And it's the only argument I really have for it. I don't think he's not Fernando Valenzuela. But, I mean, he is not doing something that we've never seen before.
Right. It's not a phenomenon.
He's impressive. Mm-hmm. He's got a popular girlfriend. I get it. But outside of that, I mean, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're freaking out. But I don't know that he should start. Who should start is what I don't hear enough people talking about. And I would like to nominate Chris Sale. If for any other reason than that guy's story, it's been crazy.
You just brought up Skeens, and I'm looking at his stats right now. He hasn't lost the game yet this year. His ERA is 2.12. He has 78 strikeouts. His WHIP is 1.01, and he's only walked 12 guys.
Only 12 guys. That was the one that really took me.
70 some strikeouts and 12 walks.
In 59 innings.
Yep.
It's not a hard argument to make for him to start, I don't think.
That's true. Absolutely.
I mean, there's a kind of funny story. If you follow Milwaukee on Facebook, they actually Skeens, one of his things he wanted to do was at Miller Park, at AmFam Field, is meet Bob Uecker. And they had pictures with him out in the field talking with Bob Uecker last night.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that kid knows his history too. That's great.
Yeah,
he knows his baseball.
Did you ask?
I was just going to say, I'm going to be on the Skeens side on this one, if nothing else, because it's a great opportunity for baseball to highlight one of the top. I mean, one of the real big talents has come around in a long time. I mean, especially pitching talent.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of, and I don't know if you guys remember this, Brad Penny. Starting the All-Star game, I can't remember what year it was, and throwing nothing but heat. I mean, he didn't throw a breaking ball to save his soul. He threw nothing but 100 miles an hour to start the first inning, and it was awesome. I think he struck out the side, and that's what I want to see. I want to see Paul Skeens just go throw gas, throw 100 miles an hour, and see if these guys can hit it. That's all I want to see.
It's I couldn't be more with you.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that the other thing, and I'll be honest about this, I just have this kind of spirit about me with things. Mm-hmm. The idea that the only reason he isn't going to start is, well, he hasn't earned it.
Yeah.
Or it's not tradition. That seems like one of the more ridiculous things to me, yeah, to do things just because we've always done it that way. Mm-hmm. We haven't always had these guys. Again, I don't think he's Fernando, but he doesn't have to be.
No.
Especially this year. Name me the other big name rookie pitchers. We can wait.
Yeah.
There isn't any.
Cricket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's not many.
Yeah, right. Certainly. Exactly.
And not like some years, like even last year, where we had a handful of these kids, or even the Strasburg year, mm-hmm, where we had him and a couple of good young pitchers coming out and stuff.
That was 14 years ago, by the way.
God, that's crazy. We got to think about him if he's a Hall of Famer now. We've gotten in Strasburg's career. That's insane.
Anyway.
I'm excited to see what they do. I don't know if I'd necessarily want to be the manager to make that decision, because I don't know if you can win. I don't know if you can win either way.
Yeah, I think if you went with – you'd be okay if you went like with Sale. I think he'd probably be the best bet other than Skeens because of the comeback and just the amazing season he's having. So, yeah.
Kevin, you're a mensch for joining us. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for so long, man.
That's right. You guys have a great night, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you guys on Friday.
All right,
looking
great.
Forward to it. Have a great night. We appreciate the call. Appreciate all of y'all. 424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Feel free to call up and join us. Some more breaking news real quick here. NBA has reached an 11-year, $76 billion media rights agreement that sets league records for length and value. This sounds like they have done this with ESPN, I believe.
Whoa.
I want to double-check, make sure on this. Yep. Oh, that assures player salaries will continue rising through the foreseeable future.
Right, right.
Wow, that is
big. That's a big deal.
So this games will continue to be aired on ESPN and ABC, and now some will be going to NBC and Amazon Prime. TNT Sports, which has been part of the league's broadcasting family since the 80s, could be on its way out, which is what we've kind of been expecting.
Right.
But they have 5 days to match this deal.
Mm. Will they do it? Will we lose the best basketball show?
Here's what I hope and I think can happen, that I don't see TNT matching this.
I don't see that happening. No.
But I also don't see the NBA letting go of that show without a fight. And especially Charles Barkley, he is the Tom Holland of the sports world in many ways, where he just spoils stuff and he can't help it because he's excited and he knows something. It's like me with if I bought Seth a gift, I wouldn't be able to keep it from him.
Right.
I'd have to give it to you within the couple of hours that I bought it. Now, you tell me a secret that matters to you, and I will take it to death.
Right.
But that kind of stuff, I can't do it.
Forget it.
Charles Barkley knows something, because he didn't just say he's retiring. He said he's going to come back for one more season. Where's that season going to be?
Right.
It's going to be on TNT. It's going to be on this show, and I think they're going to work something out where they at least have the show on for one more year, two more years or something. They get their curtain call.
Or they move it, I suppose. They could always do that to another thing in a different format, but yeah.
They're literally in the NBA Hall of Fame. They're in the Naismith Hall of Fame, because that's how good this show is for anybody that's never seen the show or doesn't care about basketball. It's, Kenny's great. Charles is an original. Shaq is another original. You get those two together, and you don't know what you can do. For me, the star of that show has always been Ernie.
Yeah.
And I love Ernie, and I love his work. I genuinely care about that man and like that man. And he's such a throwback to me, while also been so adaptive to these guys, better than anybody I've ever seen. He is the Vin Scully of what he does.
He's somehow a ringleader. He somehow wrangles them in. I don't know how he does it. Get him back on topic. But, man, he's amazing.
He is a ring master at this. He is not only able to keep the lion and the tigers at bay, mm-hmm, but keep the audience happy and entertained. And always with a good line, always with a good wit, and a good attitude about him. Maybe the most important part of Ernie is his attitude. No matter how crazy stuff goes or how tension Shaq and Chuck get about calling each other names or something like that, he is there to settle things, mm-hmm, or to humble these guys. Because that's the other thing that I don't think anybody notes about him. He humbles these guys. He will put them in check. And they will call back.
Yep.
They follow Ernie.
The respect they have for him is really, I mean, it's obvious. It's very obvious.
That is a stage of four alphas, but to three of them, there's only one lead dog, and it's Ernie. And that is pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
And that's not done out of intimidation or anything.
No.
It's out of respect.
It's respect.
And somebody who is great at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to miss that show, not just as a basketball fan, but to see an Ernie doing that
just
job.
Just as entertainment.
Yeah. It was,
in fact, I bet you there were people who didn't care a whit about basketball that watched that show just for the entertainment value of those four guys together.
Man, some of those games they had, I was one of those people. Yes.
Oh, this game is terrible.
I'm caring about Detroit basketball. I haven't cared about that since the 90s, man. Get it together, Detroit, by the way. Get it together.
Used to be good, man.
And while you're at it, tell us how to do it in Chicago. It's been a while. It's been a while. I actually have the perfect solution for the White Sox and the Bulls. It's very easy. Sell the teams, Jerry.
There you go.
You got your championships.
Yeah.
You got your championships. You got what you wanted. It's never been about the city of Chicago. It's never been about the players. It certainly hasn't been about the players. And it dang sure hasn't been about the people in the city and the fans. So just sell the team, make your money, and go off with your rings and live your life and enjoy it. I hope you have a great life. I appreciate getting to see championships in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. Yeah, I cannot wait. As bad as I want the McCaskies to sell the Bears. To me and my family.
Wow.
I want Reinsdorf because he owns two.
Yeah.
I want Reinsdorf out.
He's got to get out.
That's the only solution.
Leave Jerry.
Until that happens, that team, neither of those teams maybe, are going to be able to do anything.
Probably
the only way the Bulls have accomplished what they have is because Jerry doesn't care about them. He cares about the White Sox. He's a baseball guy. We are going to be back in just minutes with our good friend Coach Peckman, and we'll have the fourth period coming up for you right here on Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Afternoon, Rapids. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers, featuring the fourth period. We're talking hockey with our favorite person to talk hockey with, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us right now. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing
here.
All right.
Yeah, the other day, Coach, Seth and I were talking about something that you had said in a handful of interviews ago. You had said something about the players were getting it. They were starting to gel. It was, I want to say, mid-season, maybe even a little bit into the season, a little bit more into the season. And you said something about the players playing for the, not the name on the back, but the name on the front of the jersey or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, it was just, I really appreciated that because that's honestly been one of those things that stays in my head, not just with this team, but throughout the Stanley Cup run and watching the differences in some of these players and teams. I love being able to talk River Kings with you. I can't help, though, but talk a little bit of NHL with you whenever I have the chance. And did you enjoy the Stanley Cup run? Did you enjoy the playoffs?
I did. Obviously not as much as my Islanders getting knocked out in the first round, but that's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you go, when you're watching good hockey, I mean, to me, I thought going game seven and it's a 2-1 game, right? Last time we talked, we just wanted to see a good game that goes down to the wire, right? Mm-hmm. That's the excitement. And when you got two teams that are playing, you know, you got some high-level guys. And, you know, I didn't have a dog in a fight, but I wanted to see the coach of the Panthers win. Because after 26 years, you earn the right to win one. And then McDavid, you know, doing everything that he's been doing, you know, you want to see that kid start winning some cups. So it was a great, I thought it was a very good playoff.
Yeah, I was in the same boat, man. I was in the same boat. I was rooting for certain teams, and then when those teams were gone, I kind of came down to, well, I don't think as a fan I can lose. Because I have friends in the Miami area that were rooting really hard for Florida, and if they won, I was going to be happy for them. And to see Mishar Gwynn, that coach has been given everything to hockey, and he's a great coach, and he's gotten so close so many times. He's a great guy, great soundbite, one of those people that we'd love to be able to just talk to for hours, any of us, any three of us would. There was also the storyline of the Connor McDavid and Draisaitl. And two, we know what we see on the ice. Those are two greats, especially McDavid. And you're so right about this. Greats win. We've always seen that. We've grown up with that. Even if we didn't see Gretzky necessarily his whole career or anything, mm-hmm. whether it was Gretzky or Messier or Lemieux or Jagr or any of these big, big names, the biggest name in hockey always won a cup. You'd think it's just got to happen for him sometime. And I thought this was it. Because there's one thing. If they had come back, I think it almost been worth two cups. Because to come back down 3-0, that would have been something. As it is, I do think that he gained some respect back. That they didn't have when they were down 0-3, regardless of how it finished and everything. And I agree, it was a great series. Part of the reason I do bring this up is to segue into River Kings. And I'm curious, when you're preparing in the off season here, and you've got so much time to think, and there's scouting, there's all these other things you're doing. When you're watching the NHL, when you're watching any hockey, are you kind of picking the brains of these playbooks? Are you kind of looking at things and thinking, oh, I like that. We might try something like that.
Absolutely.
Right on.
You're always learning, right? I mean, you can never learn enough, and you're learning from the pros, right, from the best. So why not take advantage of that and watch what they do and you try to incorporate it? Hopefully, you know, we have the personnel that can pull some of that stuff off, right? that's what you're hoping for is that's IQ. I mean, if you got the right guys and hopefully that we're recruiting the right kids that are not only talented but have the IQ to be able to handle certain things, and that's what separates you from the pack, right?
Yeah.
And going back to your original statement about playing for the name on the front instead of the one on the back, that's what wins championships. We all know defense wins championships, right?
Yes.
Nobody teaches it, nobody coaches it, everybody says it, right? Mm-hmm. Florida was the epitome of all in, right, for the logo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, when you gotta stop McDavid and Draisaitl, right? I mean, Draisaitl didn't score at all.
No. It's insane.
That's crazy.
In that round, I don't think. So how does that happen? Well, you gotta have everybody buying in and you gotta be playing for the logo, right? Forget about who you are and you gotta be eating pucks and you gotta be playing bodies and being in the right position all the time. And that's how you shut those guys down, and that's tough to do, but you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think as we have more time away from this particular run and what Florida did, we're going to marvel at it even more, even and especially if this is as far as McDavid gets, because that's really going to stand out then. And I think maybe I don't want to get over dramatic and say change hockey, but what Florida did can't be said enough. They were the highest scoring team in the league. They were amazing. They get knocked out in the first round, and their management was like, this isn't going to win. We got to change it. We have to have a different approach. They trade one of their best players in their team's history for a guy in Tkachuk that wasn't necessarily a promising player, but not necessarily the leader that we see he is now. Mm-hmm. Some of the other things they've done, it's incredible to see in a couple of years how much they changed the culture and the face of that team and what happens from that. I hope more, not to say everybody can do it, but I hope to see more teams kind of take that approach and be willing to take chances. Because doing things just the same way, because you've always done it that way, doesn't, I don't know, that never works out, I think, especially in life, but in sports in particular. Coach, you mentioned some of the recruits you've had. Any recent signings you wanted to tell us about?
I think Hunter Raffert is a kid that we just recently signed from Potomac, Manassas, Virginia. He's a kid that's played at the elite level, was one of their top defensemen, and is ready to make the next jump. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And I expect him to be fitting in the rotation really well. So I think that's the most recent one. We've been kind of it's been quiet the last couple of weeks. We're talking to a lot of guys, and there's a lot of main camps going on right now. So we're just kind of sitting back and seeing how that all transpires and I mean, we're close. We only need a couple more guys, so I'm not worried yet.
When you join us in a couple of weeks, or when you join us next, we'll check in with you about that. But it is an interesting game, not only scouting. I to me, scouting is one of the most interesting parts of sports, no matter what sport you're talking about. And I actually had a topic for Seth a little bit later about number one picks in baseball. And how many have worked out and how many haven't. Because I think baseball is the most unique one when it comes to the drafting. Mm-hmm. But with hockey, baseball, you kind of have this – baseball and hockey, basketball's getting there a little bit. But they're the sports that – football, that's impressive. You scout America. We scout the world. And that's a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Yeah. when it comes to that, Coach, I can't imagine how this part of the scouting period is, sitting back and waiting. You said you feel good with the team you have. You've got to have a finger on the pulse of this in many different ways. I imagine it's connections as well as it is keeping communication with the players.
Oh yeah, yeah. You definitely. I'm on the phone a lot. Let's just say that. So it's staying connected with your connections that you have and. How's this guy, what's his character like? What's his work ethic like, right? I mean, you watch video and you can see, all right, the kid can play, but you want to make sure you bring in the right guys to the program, right? So it's that and how's he doing over there and what's he doing and where are we at? And then also in trying to get response for kids. And you got to remember, these are teenage kids and half of them always speak English, right? Yeah. So it's very difficult in the communication part. But now with WhatsApp and things like that, I do a lot of that with players and emails, obviously, and then video calls and when we get to that point. But yeah, it's just, I'm constantly talking to my connections out there and, whether it be Sweden, Norway, UK, wherever else, it's just, anybody, we're looking for a certain guy. I'm looking to fill a certain spot, right? You got anybody that fits the bill? And that's where we're at right now. I mean, it's down to specifics. So I will be in Wisconsin in West Bend at the end of the month, working the main camp for the North American Hockey League team, the Wisconsin Wendigo. As we're building a relationship with those guys because they're the next level up from us. And so they've invited me to work the benches during their main camp. And so we've invited some of our players to go to that camp as well as some guys from all over the world to come there. And if they don't make it, hopefully they come to us and make us that much stronger.
That's excellent. All right. Speaking with Coach Peckman, and Coach, before we let you go, I did want to note one thing. Two things, really. I want to strongly encourage the audience to follow the River Kings on Instagram and Facebook. It's a great follow. Also, a great way to keep up to date on the signings and different things going on with the team. And one thing that you guys noted recently in one of your posts is about how we get these great players in. These kids come here. They spend time in our city. One of the great things that we can do to show how much we appreciate them coming here is being a host family. And we're always looking for more host families. I want to encourage anybody out there that has ever been a host family or would like to be one to reach out to the River Kings and see if you could be a good fit for them. Because it's one of the – you heard Kevin earlier in the show talking about what it was to have one of the Raptor players there. He's following that kid still. Mm-hmm. You build a different connection with these kids. And there aren't many as somebody who was raised by one, I will tell you, there aren't many finer or funnier people in the world than hockey players. you are going to enjoy having one of these River Kings, because the other thing I'll say, and I'll put my name on it, the River Kings bring good kids to this community, and you can trust that. You can put anybody of my name on that for sure. Coach, want to encourage people to be a host family and follow their Kings as you guys build hockey up and down the river.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's important, obviously, right? So we're looking, we're close, another one, maybe two families, and I think we should be okay.
Good to hear.
So if anybody's interested, please reach out. And I think we're all right. We'll get there and we'll figure out a way. If not,
My parents have talked about this, my dad specifically, and I'm a little worried that if he brings one of these kids in, he's going to talk their ears off, literally. Like, he's literally going to talk their ears off, and I'm a little worried about that. But they're talking about maybe next season when they're feeling a little bit better, maybe doing this, and I think that's going to be real fun for them. It'll be fun for anybody out there.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks for joining us, Coach. We'll talk again real soon. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ben. Be listening for another fourth period coming up real soon, everybody, as we follow your River Kings up and down the river and all season long. There is no off-season with our River Kings.
Nope.
Find out more at riverkingshockey.com and find out how you can be a host family by reaching out to them through the same website or on Facebook or Instagram. You can message them on there. Riverkingshockey.com, riverkingshockey.com. We'll be back with more fun on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. What are you doing? That's where you go. Now, I did a nice job there. I segued to you well. Why aren't you playing? Why aren't you doing your job, computer? I segued really good there. I was proud of that transition. And it's all ruined because you didn't go on time. You got one job, play the Quality Plus commercial. Okay, so we're not going to commercial break.
I guess we're not for the moment here.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm in complete pain from my mouth. Could have used a break. At riverkingshockey.com, everybody. As long as we've got some time to talk, Seth,
right.
We do want to open the phone line, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. Looking forward to talking with Coach and talking more hockey.
Mm-hmm.
We get closer to it. I did have another stat of the show I did want to get in, and that's about Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
He is an Olympian for the first time.
Ooh,
and that's cool. With them winning in this play, kind of a winner-take-all kind of game against Croatia, I think maybe more importantly to the NBA and to Bucks fans out there, beat the daylights out of Luka. and that 80-69, they beat Croatia.
Wow.
They are going to be going to Paris. Giannis is going to be going as a first-time Olympian. And seeing his joy, if you want to see a guy, who, if you wonder if he's still passionate about this game, if he still loves basketball,
right.
He was out there giving everything he's got, like you only could ask for from an Olympian. That's going to be cool to see. It also made me think about something else, Seth.
Okay.
Because I've only had literally a handful, 3 to 5 times this has happened to me since I've been watching the Olympics, which is literally my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, having a hockey father, with at least the Winter Olympics we were glued to. And as I grew up in the 80s with the greatness of the Olympic Games with the U.S. teams and Carl Lewis and Flo Jo and all of this, I have just been a lover of the Olympics my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, there's a guy or there's somebody that another team that this guy's kind of cool. And I never rooted for anybody against Michael Phelps. That was my guy. I liked Michael Phelps. I loved watching him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those. But Usain Bolt, there was something about him and watching him run.
Oh, man.
And just seeing greatness that honestly, I didn't care what country he was repping. I don't want to say I was rooting for him, but I was not, disappointed when he won and broke records.
No, because he was an amazing guy. I mean, just watching him was like, well, I guess I relate everything to baseball, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, watching Ohtani hit a home run, or something like that. It's like, it's something you've never seen before, you get to watch this guy, and it's just amazing. It just knocks your socks off. It has nothing to do with where he's from or anything like that. It's just remarkable. You've got to give your props to someone like that.
I'm curious if other people do this or struggle with this or don't even think about it. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600, as we get ready for the biggest games of the summer coming up. It's going to be pretty exciting, and there is a lot of not only great U.S. talent, but great Wisconsin and Midwest talent on those teams. I am so excited to see some of these greats. Not only some people, I guarantee you some names are going to be a household name by the end of August. Some names that we haven't thought of until now, unless you're really, really paying attention. But even some names that you already know. I will put my name again on one other thing. Simone Biles is going to go there. And if you didn't know who she was, you will when you leave. Because not only is she the GOAT already and doesn't have to be doing this.
No.
But she's also coming back after her struggles in the last Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen Simone since then and the work she's been doing, I gather to say that she has showing that the time off actually didn't affect anything. And it's almost like she paused her talent and her work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she came back to it, it's like no time passed.
Right.
And I don't want to be over exaggerate and say that she's better. But because she is seasoned more and she's older and more mature, there's a control in what she's doing that is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful when in that. It's most athletes most every single athlete is confident.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference when they're comfortable. That's a comfortable confidence that they have. The Michael Jordan walking down the court and shrugging. And just shrugging, like, I'm Michael.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's my answer. Like, yeah. That kind of athlete. The Joe Montana walking into the huddle when they haven't won anything yet, and it's the fourth quarter, and they got to go march 80-some yards to score a touchdown, and he comes into the huddle talking about John Candy. That guy, that kind of confidence, that's a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Simone is, I think. That's going to be fun to watch.
It's really remarkable. I saw a little going on you know on NBC and it, just watching her, it was like, oh my gosh,
this is
I don't know if it's a new Simone Biles, but it's definitely a re-energized one,
because that's a good way to put
there
it.
Was something there, man, and the fact that she was there with her teammates and watching her happy. Interacting with how well they were doing, I mean. Come on, man.
She was so happy. It was so fun to see.
And
I'm looking forward to seeing a bigger smile when she whoops the world. Because that's what I believe her
I don't
and
know.
Team USA will
well,
do.
Well, like I heard them say on the thing, her biggest competition would be the Russians, and they're not going to be there. So I think it's going to be a walk. Yeah.
Because it's crazy to think about how we're not creating some of the athletes that we used to in certain sports.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of depth to that and conversation.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes right down to where the other countries approach the Olympics and the money and the effort they put into it, and you think about, I don't know, you can make the argument other than China, Russia does, and nobody does more than what Russia does.
Mm-hmm.
And to get all of that and have it messed up because of your government and because of outside sources, when it has nothing to do with these athletes, most of the time, I'm not going to speak for them or pretend
right.
I know any of their all their stories or anything, but we know traditionally how that happens.
Yeah.
I can't. There's losing out, and then there's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have good sports stories in our show, and that's something that we're going to be doing as we are back with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah,
Monday through Wednesday, Friday, 5 to 6. We do have some shows next week that'll be we'll be giving our time to the rafters, understandably
yep.
so.
They're going to be on their East Coast swing, which means Michigan.
It would not make
the
a
East
lot
Coast
of
play Michigan.
Yeah, nice. It would not make a lot of sense for us to put the show out of that Joy the Rafters in progress. That would not make a lot of sense. But I have a couple of things I wanted to note as we're getting ready for the games. And if anybody gets a chance, I encourage you to go look for watch the video of the Belgian shot putter that ran hurdles to save her team from disqualification.
Oh my gosh.
Belgium obviously doesn't have traditionally a big roster, no
right.
matter what the
small
sport.
Country. Yeah.
Yeah. They were not going to be able to qualify because one of their runners got injured. So the only way, the only thing they could do is have another Belgian be in the run.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was willing to do it except their shot putter. And it's her obviously she is a shot putter running hurdles.
Yeah.
But it makes it all the more impressive that it's a shot putter running hurdles.
Yeah.
And I think she does a heck of an amazing job.
Man.
Better than I'd have done.
What an athlete. I mean, just watching her, though, she's so excited.
Yeah.
She's just thrilled.
Yeah,
that's
she didn't.
Great.
I would think that you approach this and there's some nerves, all these things. She's out there and she's not only enjoying herself, but taking it very seriously. She slowed down for these and she was so big, she's almost walking over some of these hurdles.
She's tall. Yeah, she's very tall. So, yeah.
She didn't have to win the race, just had to compete.
Yes.
And Belgium gets to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And while America's shot putter is going to be doing, you're going to hear her name. She's one of the names you might remember in August.
Mm-hmm.
This young lady is going to be one of them, too. I think not only because of this story, but she's very talented.
Yeah, but that is just she's very good. I mean, just stepping over that's impressive. I would have been knocking him over trying to do what she's doing right now.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I would have done the same. Yeah, and I got to say too that it's pretty cool when this happens, where one of the stories of the Olympics, and we haven't even gotten to the Olympics
exactly.
yet. It's pretty cool.
It's great.
Congratulations to Giannis. Congratulations to her, mm-hmm. and certainly Team USA on all the qualifiers. And it looks forward to some great Olympics. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Seth, I did want to touch on something else before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't purposely wait for this one at the end of the show because I don't want it to be the last story we do.
Okay.
But we are a civic media team. We're a civic media company. And we don't shy away from anything. That's something that our company is proud of and does. And that's something we do. And Wander Franco from the Tampa Bay Rays was an up-and-coming, one of the bigger up-and-coming stars in baseball.
Top pick. He was in the All-Star game last year.
That's right.
He was one of the Tampa's All-Star people. And then last August, there was some postings on social media about issues. He was accused of some pretty not good stuff.
Yes.
And because of that, the Rays put him on leave of absence. And he's been in the Dominican ever since. He's not come back since then.
Yeah.
Well, we found out yesterday that the prosecutors in the Dominican Republic have brought formal charges against him. Franco was officially facing charges of sexual abuse and sexual exploitation against a minor, according to the report. Like I said, he's been on administrative leave. He has now been put on the restricted list. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between those two in baseball means that in administrative leave is just you're away from the team. You are still drawing your pay and you're still accruing service time. When you are on the restricted list, you get neither of those things. So usually what baseball does is they wait for what happens at the courts, the legal system, and then they make their ruling about what's going to happen to that player. Today there might be some human trafficking charges added to this as well. He's looking at possibly 20 altogether, about 25 years in prison in the Dominican Republic. Safe to say his baseball career is over.
Yeah.
There's no chance he's ever coming back to Major League Baseball.
Part of the reason this is a story is because it's a different day and age, and these things are not washed over. And it's great to see our countries working together on these things and hopefully putting an end to more and more an end to trafficking or any of this kind of abuse that goes on.
Right.
There is no tolerance. This is in a gray world, this is a black and white issue. You're either on the right side of history or not with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see, for all the things we could talk trash about with any of these leagues, baseball doing smart things like that only gives more a positive in these stories where there is none.
It should also be noted real quick that the mother of the minor that was involved in this is also being charged.
So, thanks, Seth. Yep. Thanks. Great work on that. We were going to get into, and we'll save this for next for Friday. We will be here Friday. We're looking forward to not only talking whatever breaking news happens between now and then, because we finally get to. We don't have to wait.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We don't have to wait.
Most importantly, looking forward to talk to you. Get your sports thoughts and feelings ready, and we're looking forward to talking with you Friday. Also, looking forward to talking a little Mel. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Talk about him. And why exactly do managers wear uniforms in the dugout in baseball?
Managers wear uniforms in the dugout.
Testing.
But we got to get out of here now, everybody.
We got to get out of here now.
Have a good day.